But Jesus left there and he returned to his hometown. His disciples came along, and on the Sabbath, he gave a lecture in the meeting place. He actually stole the show, impressing everyone. We had no idea that he was this good. How did he get so wise all of a sudden with such ability? But in the next breath, they were cutting him down. Wait a minute. He's just the carpenter's son, Mary's boy. We've known him since he was a kid. We know his brothers, James and Justice and Jude and Simon and his sisters. Who does he think he is? And then they tripped over what little they knew about him and fell sprawling, and they never got any further. And Jesus told them, a prophet has little honor in his hometown, among his relatives and on the streets where he played as a child. Jesus wasn't able to do much of anything there. He laid hands on a few sick people and healed them, and that was it. And he couldn't get over their stubbornness. He left and made a circuit of the other villages teaching. And Jesus called the 12 to him and sent them out in pairs. And he gave them authority and power to deal with the evil opposition. He sent them off with these instructions. Don't think you need a lot of extra equipment for this. You are the equipment. No special appeals for funds. Keep it simple. And no luxury inns. Get a modest place and be content until you leave. If you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way. Then they were on the road. They preached with joyful urgency that life can be radically different. Right and left, they sent demons packing, and they brought wellness to the sick, anointing their bodies and healing their spirits. This is the good news of Jesus the Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, I come to you now as your servant, asking that the words that I speak this morning would not be mine, but they would be yours. And asking, O God, that those who hear and receive these words would receive them not only in their minds and in their hearts, but deep in their souls. That place, O God, where you and they go. Help us to leave our baggage packed. Help us, O God, to understand that the glory lies before us. That it is all about our relationship with you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, there's lots of reasons that this passage is just fantastic. And there's a lot of unpacking to do, amen? We could probably have, at least two or three sermons, amen? We could have the whole thing about the disciples being called and sent out into the world and all that kind of stuff. But I want to start with the obvious. And it was, and I don't know what Alice thought was obvious this morning. I'm not going to know that till later. But you could almost hear that verse if it had been written at the time that Jesus was preaching in the synagogue. Because at one moment, they're just excited all about him, right? And we've all gone through this, have we not? Where people, you go back home and people are happy to see you, amen. Oh, it's wonderful, right? And then they find out what you've been doing. And then it ain't so wonderful. Amen? I have memories of when I was a kid that were not so good, because the rumors started about who I was, amen, and what I was all about. That got eggs thrown at our house. It got phone calls at all times of the day with just really rude things said to whoever answered the phone. It made it so going to school for me was difficult because I always had to look over my shoulder and I always had to hear the names being called. And folks, I got to tell you, it's really kind of funny as I think about it as an adult. Most of those folks that were doing all that stuff, they had no knowledge, none, of who or what I was. They were just feeding off the crowd. Amen? You think we live in that world today? Amen? Now, I got to tell you that when you do the exegesis on this particular passage, when you go back and do the study, almost all of the theologians sit there and say, you know what, this is probably not exactly true. Hello? Not exactly true? No, Mark was making a point. And what Mark wanted to say, how many of you all know about Jesus and what his childhood was like? So most folks, when you hear this, right, they don't even get it. They don't even understand. Well, what was wrong with Jesus' childhood? Jesus is a God, isn't he? Jesus is perfect. Well, all you got to do is get a hold of the lost books of the Bible and read some of those stories. Do you know that Jesus was not a well-behaved child? Amen? In fact, as he was learning who he was, as he was figuring out who he was, hello, think about that for a minute. Those of you who are gay, lesbian, bi, transgender, as you begin to figure out who you are, there's some trouble that comes with that. Amen? Because people have things to say. At one point in one of the stories, Jesus had a temper. And when the kids around him pissed him off, they dropped dead, according to these stories. Now, somebody out there is listening to this and they're going, oh, Pastor, that's not true. Hey, it's the same scripture that we read today, the same authors. It just didn't get included as part of canon. So you got to take the history, amen? And on top of that, what made things worse is that they went to Joseph and said, hey, dude, you people have got to move. I don't know what it is with your kid, but we're losing kids here. And so Joseph goes and talks to Jesus like any father would, right? Tell his kid that he's got to behave. And what was Jesus' remark to him? Be careful. You have no idea who you're talking to. Are there any parents out there that have had that deal with your kids? Amen? Right? Oh, and by the way, what was that other statement they made? He was the son of Mary. You notice they didn't mention father. Why was that? Because remember, Jesus was what? Born out of wedlock. What I'm trying to say to you folks is Jesus had a lot of baggage. And when he went back to Nazareth, there were people when he started preaching that kind of all of a sudden when he stepped on a toe because he was asking them to do things differently than they had come to do. Like, in other words, what were some of the things that he asked them to do differently? Oh, well, let's see. There was the woman that they wanted to kill because she had committed adultery. And Jesus said, oh, you can't do that unless you don't have any sin. And by the way, anybody want to deal with that today? Think about that in this country where we have the death penalty, where it's celebrated. Amen? And think about that the next time you hear about somebody being put to death by the government. Hear Jesus in the back of your head say, and let the first one without sin cast a stone. But see, we don't want to talk about that, amen? Because it's a little bit painful. It's where Jesus goes from being this really popular guy, amen, to now he's, oh, remember that old saying? Do y'all remember the old saying? Preacher, you've gone from preaching to meddling. Amen? And that's exactly what Jesus did. And people were not happy about that. Anybody who follows Jesus, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, I'm not going to say Christian, because there's people out there today that are just, you know, the whole institutional church thing and all that kind of stuff just raises too much garbage for them. And you know what? We need to get away from the institution. We do need to pay attention to what Jesus taught. And if we are going to be followers of Jesus, if we're going to follow the gospel and truly watch it be preached and enacted, you can count on conflict. Which is why it ties into what Alice read this morning. Again, I don't know what moved her to do that, but it ties in here. When you do the work of God, there are going to be people out there that are going to criticize you. When you love extravagantly, which is what we're called to do, when you bring people in that are supposed to be on the outside, do you remember what happened when Jesus called Matthew? Oh my God, they had a heart attack. He was a tax collector. He was this, he was that. Let a gay person say that they love Christ, and all those people on the fundamental right just have a stroke. Amen? A Danish preacher and theologian, Søren Kierkegaard, has once said that the test of a good sermon is not that you heard it or enjoyed it and went home to Sunday dinner afterwards, but you heard it and you were too sick at heart to eat anything afterwards. Which really kind of makes it a little tricky if you're a preacher, because that means that you're going to take somebody off, that you're going to make somebody uncomfortable, that your neck is going to be out on the line. But understand that that is what the folks were having trouble with Jesus about. They remembered who he was or what they thought they knew of him. And then when he changed the game and started talking about inclusion, started talking about bringing people in, all of a sudden, wait a minute, he's the bastard son. His daddy was nothing but a carpenter. And his mama, well, we just told you, she wasn't married. Now, folks, every one of you have gone through that, have you not? Every one of you have gone through where people have looked into your background and basically said, and yes, I'll say this loud enough for everybody to hear me, that you suck. That you're not good enough. Amen? And you've heard that for lots of reasons. You either don't believe the way you're supposed to believe, you don't do the things you're supposed to do, you don't have the friends you're supposed to have, you don't have the job you're supposed to have, you haven't been baptized quick enough, amen. You've admitted to the world that you're LGBTQI whatever. You've decided that somewhere along the line that you don't want to eat meat. There's all kinds of things that people criticize you for. But this is the other lesson to this. This is why Mark actually did this story. Because it doesn't matter whether the exact verbiage is true. What matters is what Mark did with it. Because he tied two things together. The first thing he did was say, see, people are going to criticize you because of your past. So the first thing the pastor is going to tell you, if you've got baggage, leave it in storage. What's done is done. You can't change history, folks. All you can do is be who you are today. And that is Mark's point. Because he said, how did Jesus react to all of this criticism? He looked at his disciples and said, go out and preach this good news. They may not believe it yet, but they will when they see it, when they experience it. And by the way, just for those who are into, I call it profit-sharing ministry, but what's that word, Mike, that I'm looking for? Prosperity. Prosperity ministry. You know those people that stand up there and say, hey, we need all this money, we got to do this, we got to do that. Did you hear what Jesus said? Go do the ministry and don't ask for anything. God will take care of you. See, again, this is why Alice read this passage, because this is one of those pieces of truth that nobody wants to listen to. It is not about putting people out. It's about bringing people in. It is not about taking their money. It's about giving it away. It is not about fixing people. It is about meeting the need. That's why this story goes together and it works so well. One of the Daniel Hayes said this, and he's a diva. He's got to be. Because what he says is this: Jesus returns to Nazareth and begins to teach in the synagogue. This is a hick town. Probably has a population of only about 100 people. The baggage Jesus grew up with continues to weigh him down there, and their comments show that they're trying to force Jesus back into the familiar box of his childhood. This construction worker can't possibly be as wise and powerful as it seems. Labeling him Mary's son probably shows they still haven't forgotten the controversy surrounding his birth. Jesus can calm the sea, can cast out a legion of demons, heal a serious illness, and even raise a dead girl to life. But he can't work in the hard, stubborn hearts of those who think they know him best. This time, it is Jesus who gives a message to all. Let God do it.